for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Deliverance Service, May the 23rd, 2008. Carla Batod is the speaker of the service, teaching on love. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, love is even more important than knowledge. It passeth knowledge. To know the love of Christ, that love which surpasses everything. It's better than everything. If you only have one gift of God, let it be love. Let it be love. But guess what? He doesn't do that. You're going to have the love of God and you're going to have many gifts. Because Jesus is, he encompasses. It says that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If you have the love, if you have his love, you have the fullness of God in you. And I used to pray for, oh, Lord, the gift of this, I would really, you know, I'm thinking, Jesus Christ is in me. He has all the gifts, does he not? Now, he walked in all the gifts all the time. But we have the capacity that whatever we come in contact with, he can activate and use through us to get to that person the gift to be used to touch their lives for him, for his glory, for their good and his glory. That's the way I like to put it. It's for their good and his glory. So his love, faith, it says, works by love. Love is essential. And sometimes we concern ourselves with all the outer elements, and it all comes from his love. That should be the thing that we seek after the most. I saw it one time as a wagon wheel. In the center, of course, I'm back in the prairie days. I didn't get anything new and modern. It was a wagon wheel, those old wooden wagon wheels that they went across the West in. And in the center of that is a hub. And then there's wooden spokes that hold the outer wheel even. And that's what you roll on. And I see that outer thing as life. The outer rim that we roll on is life. And the spokes are the gifts, you know, your family, all the things that we concern ourselves with. Education, jobs, clothes, house, cars, all these things. Wives, husband, children. But the center of that is love. Without the love, you're not going to have any of those things. You'll be missing a bunch, and your wheel is not going to roll correctly. Does that make sense? So the chief thing that we should desire and seek after and develop in us through the Word of God is his love. And if we have that, then it says that we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Okay, look at 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 7. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." That was another thing that so impressed me when Jesus said to me that he voluntarily took the cruelty of the cross so that I could live. That impressed me. If we lose our life, we will find it. If we lose our life to him, we will find it. When he said, "I voluntarily took that," my immediate response was, "Lord, if you gave your life so I could live, then I give my life to you to live through me." That was my immediate response, so that he could live through me. You live your life through me. I had lived my life, 30 years of it, and it was hell. I mean, there were some good parts, but I'm talking about abundant life, like Jesus wants us to have. And this is what it says. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And you know what? We cannot be selective with this love. That's another thing we do. Without the love of God, we select who we'll love, and the others are just out in the cold. God doesn't do that. You know, recently, I was having a conversation with someone and talking about a particular young man in our family, and this person who was a relative said, "Well, I can't believe that he's such a nothing." And I said, "Wait a minute. God, Jesus, died for him just like he died for us. And at one time, we were in the same position as being godless, without knowing, without being saved. Does that make us a nothing? He's not a nothing. Jesus loves him and desires for him to have the abundant life as much as he does us." And so that's, you know, at one time, I would have been right there with her. You know, low life, you know, he'll get what he deserves. That's not the love of God. So when God moves into our life, we cannot be selective with this love anymore. But like I said, if you don't have it, you can't get it. That's why I want us to look at our love life, and if we have areas that is a love issue, then from this day forward, work on those areas of receiving more of God's love so that we can give more of God's love. Freely you have received, freely give. But if you don't have it, you can't give it. So that's important. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Love is a spirit. God is love, and love is a spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So love is really important. That love of God is going to allow us to love others as God loves us. He looks past our sins. Love never fails, the scripture says. Love never fails. And there are some spirits that we can have that we had nothing to do with. There is the bastard spirit who will keep us from the love of God because it's a 10-generation curse, and I'll talk a little more about that the next time I teach, but it's too involved to get into, but there are some spirits that can keep us from the love of God, and that's one of them. It's the major one, the bastard spirit. It causes us to feel unworthy. You know, Katie was telling me that she was talking to somebody the other day and encouraging them to look to God for help in some way. And the person said, God is not going to just drop money on us. And Katie said, I have seen people that God impressed upon other people to give money to my parents when they needed it through a prayer, not telling anybody about it. God, he says, yeah, but that's your mom. And I said, and you know what he's saying there? He thinks that God does it for me because I, you know, am living the Christian life, and he's not. But God loves him too. And if you look to God, he will begin to help you, because the word says that it is with the goodness of God that men are led to repentance. People just, they have it in their minds that they are not worthy of it, and that keeps them from asking because they don't understand God. God is love, and he's drawing. He wants to draw us into his goodness. It's us who feel guilty about what we're doing, and it causes us to hide from God, like Adam did when he sinned. You know, they walked in the garden every evening with God. They had perfect relationship with him until they sinned, and then when they heard him coming, they hid. And we do the same thing. When we don't feel like we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we think God has turned his back on us. We can't even understand the love of God. Beyond our comprehension, it really is. But so I was wondering, what I wanted to do, I was thinking, is like, okay, in a perfect situation, I would say, how many in here love God? With all their heart as the best of their ability, how many of us in here love God? Every one of us would say we love God. Now, how many of us in here are totally convinced, or how many of us know that God loves us? But how many of us are totally convinced that God loves us? We know he loves us, but we know because the word says that God loves us. But how many of us truly feel that God is personal and he loves, not as a church, not as part of the church, but as a person on a personal basis, an intimate love from God? Good. Now, how many of you are not totally convinced that God truly loves you? Okay. Then my next question would be, why is it, do you think that God doesn't love you? What is it that causes you to think that God doesn't love you? Do you even know? A spirit of rejection. Okay. But it's there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does anybody else want to volunteer what they think about, I mean, those others that raise their hands that feel not that they're not loved?
I think it's rejection by parents. You know, just like Thomas
was talking about this morning about the Heavenly Father. We get our picture of the Heavenly Father from our earthly father. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a distance there because there was a distance with your earthly parents.
Right.
So you feel that there's a distance. Because they didn't love you, surely God doesn't.
Right.
Okay. Anybody else?
I
depression.
On and off the medication and at hospital the whole bit.
Okay.
And it was the fear, there was a great fear
mm-hmm.
that kept me from God.
Mm-hmm.
The abuse issues that from the past kept me.
Okay.
Kind of like the same thing, you know, the rejection of parents.
Mm-hmm.
When people in your life, when you've had that kind of, it's almost like the anger has been put on you.
Mm-hmm.
It was their anger, not mine.
Right.
It creates a barrier.
Okay.
And it wasn't until somebody gave me a list of scriptures of who I was in Christ, who I was in
yes.
Christ, mm-hmm. that made a total difference in my life and turned my whole life around.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know who you are in Christ, unless
that's
you
right.
know who you are,
that's right.
You don't see Him for love because you don't see the love.
That's true.
So you just, you have to, that is a core knowledge you have to have.
That's right.
And that made that there's a barrier there. If you don't know that, then find it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be one of the keys to finding out who you are.
Okay. So that issue is dealt with in your life completely.
My issue is well dealt with.
Is what?
Still,
okay.
On a daily basis, I still have things that crop up. I mean, even just this weekend, James and I have been dealing with a dark room. I don't know how to explain it other than for 2 nights in a row now. I've had to go to him and like, look, I just want you to stay right here so I go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a dark room, I'm in a dark room. The first time it happened, I was really sick, and I couldn't even talk to him. And finally, when I woke up the next morning, I told him, I said, I'm sorry. I said, all I could do was just lay on the bed and cry, trying to tell you, I'm really here. I'm here. I'm in a dark room, but I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't take the place that it used to take in my life when it would throw
me. So does that create fear in you, this dark room?
Oh, yeah.
Is that why you need someone there
oh, yeah.
until you fall asleep?
Oh, yeah.
It's fear.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so we have fear and we have rejection. Okay, what about others who raise their hands that are totally convinced without a doubt that God loves them? Are you willing to share what yours was and what brought you out of it? Was that question make sense to you? Okay.
That's the dumbest thing. Oh, because he brought me to the
counselor. Okay. That is not dumb.
I don't want the ear. I mean, just the little things he does. It's like I'm just so honored for the things he does for me. I'm just so grateful. Every little thing. Like I have clothes on my back.
Yeah.
I have water to wash with. Mm-hmm. And it's just great. It's just I shouldn't take those things for granted.
Right.
But that's just my thing.
A heart of thanksgiving for the
right.
things that he's...
Just for the littlest
thing. Amen. Hey, after the hurricane, I became
right.
very thankful for hot running water and a flushing commode and air conditioning.
Right, and I just, because I've been a Christian for almost a year and a half, and I just think, like, wow, I could have died at 22.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I hear people that got partied and drunk, and,
mm-hmm.
and I just, I that does it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I know everybody's...
You were snatched out of the fire.
Right.
Well, praise God.
Right. So, I mean, mine is different, but even I did have a lot of rejection and everything, but when I look at it like that, it makes me feel so loved and just like I'm a queen.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Patty?
I didn't know, really, until 5 years ago, and we were in the ladies' meeting, and it was during praise and worship. And I just was, it was a time of being quiet before the Lord. I mean, I knew it.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I knew it.
Right.
But the Lord just spoke to me. And He said, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
And there was something that happened.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened, and I knew He loved me. More than anything, I believed it.
Yeah.
I knew it before, but I didn't really believe it.
I know.
He,
I can relate.
It was an impression. It wasn't audible.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I knew it, and I believed it, and it was real.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all He said.
And what do you think kept you from... I mean, you knew it, but you didn't believe... What do you think was the block that kept you... You don't know. See, that's the problem. Yeah. Unbelief. Yeah. And a feeling of unworthiness. And that comes through not knowing who you are in Christ, because that was part of mine too, was not really knowing who I was when I received Christ. I think, there needs to be more teaching in the church overall about what happens to you when you receive Christ. You are a new creature. You are made righteous. You are made holy. You are made, the scripture, every day I say, Lord, since He's said I got on the cross so you could live. Okay, Lord, then I present my body to you, a living sacrifice, holy. It's like holy only because you live in it. I present my body holy only because you live in it. There's nothing holy in me except Jesus' presence made me holy. But it's hard for me to say, I am holy, right? It's hard for us to say, I am righteous, because we know that we can't be righteous on our own. But it is the indwelling man of Jesus Christ who made us righteous. We became righteous. It's kind of like a bill. You have a bill. It's due. Let's say those kind of come with red ink that say past due. That's what we are. And then when we accept Him as our Savior, paid in full. That's the difference. And it's that profound. It's like tearing it up and blowing it in the wind. But we don't really get that when we get saved. We get saved, and then we try to be righteous, and we fail, and we fail, and we fail, and we fail. So we feel unworthy and deserving of punishment and deserving of bad lifestyles and deserving of, and may as well go back and live in sin. That's what happens to us. I really think there needs to be more teaching on who we are in Christ. We are new creatures. Transformed, but we don't realize we're transformed. We try to transform ourselves. That's the problem. We have to receive it. It was a gift. Salvation was a gift. Salvation is a gift. His shed blood is a gift. Healing is a gift. Deliverance is a gift. Can we receive it? That's what it is about. Is us getting this in our minds and beyond our minds to knowing that He loves us. Right now, someone said this morning, if you never change another iota, that wasn't the word he used, but I can't remember the word he used. God loves you right now. Then we can go on. But we keep striving, because it's like with the parental thing. We know that our parents are supposed to love us, and when they don't, then it's hard to think that anybody loves us, and especially if they've done bad things to us. That would really be a tough one. But you want to know something? This is what I came to the realization at Lake Hamilton. I have heard women who had been sexually abused since childhood, other women who had been brutally beaten and abused by husbands. Their dad had sexually molested. I mean, just all manner of terrible things. And yet, I suffered from the same spirits, the same torments, and none of those things have ever happened to me. See, that's the way demons work. Those spirits come down through the family line, and even though you haven't partaken of any of that and none of that's ever happened to you, you suffer the same spirits. That's why I hate demons and want people to be free from them, because we're free. Are we free? No. But His blood has made us free. We have the victory. But do we have the victory? No. That's a problem. And that's why we're here. That's why we're here. We want to get rid of those tormenting demons that hold us in captivity, to keep us from reaching the potential that God created us to be. And that is what will bring the church into its fullness. The bride. We're being prepared like a bride. And I know he's ready. You know how long he's been waiting for that bride? Oh my goodness. James was fussing about a couple of months. We can't relate to how Jesus feels about waiting for his bride. But he's getting us ready. He's getting us ready. And there will be more and more deliverance moving into the mainstream churches, I believe with all my heart. I heard recently that the Catholic Church used to keep, and this was in Rome, 70 priests they would train to do exorcisms. They have upped it to 400 because of the demand on the church. The people are coming to the church for help. And they're going to be flooding into our churches. And we need to be ready. That's why the ministry of deliverance is so needed. That's why we need to get delivered so that we can freely give that deliverance to others as we come in contact with people, because it's fixing to hit the fan big time. So, okay, so we have fear. That was one of the things that put a barrier. Rejection by parents.
It can be generational, too, like
absolutely,
family.
Yeah.
Had these
yes.
It was
the bastard spirit,
yeah.
Which is rejection. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Abandonment.
Yes, that's good. What else?
Anger.
What is it?
Anger.
Anger.
Your parents not loving their children. Mm-hmm. You know, a parent loves their child. The child will never feel unloved. Unless it's the grandparents, unless it's coming down generationally.
Yeah, mine came down. I mean, I was loved, but I didn't feel loved.
Right, but it came down generationally.
Right.
Right. If the child is loved God's way,
mm-hmm.
they will never doubt God's love. I remember when my husband, you know, I never felt unloved a day in my life
mm-hmm.
because I had a mom and dad that loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And the generations loved their
children. Right.
But when my first husband left me for his secretary, I didn't feel not loved.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even feel rejected. My heart was broke because I had these two little boys that didn't have a daddy. That's what crushed my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But because I grew up being loved and accepted, I never doubted it. So
mm-hmm.
however we're trained up,
if
we're trained up to be loved, we'll feel loved. If we're trained up to be rejected, we'll feel rejected. If we're trained up to be abandoned,
mm-hmm.
we'll be abandoned.
Yeah.
But as we go back and take accountability and forgive,
right.
then the relief comes and we have a correct image of God.
Right. Because, see, when we got married, I didn't believe Mike loved me. I just didn't. But that was that, it's called an unloving spirit that comes with rejection, that won't let you love and won't let you receive love.
And if a person is not trained up to be loved by his parents,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much you tell that person,
I know.
Love them, I was married to my husband, no matter how much I told him I loved him, he never believed it because
mm-hmm.
he was... had the curse of the bastard.
Yeah, which is why he had to go outside the marriage to be loved.
Yeah.
And he probably took it with him. Okay.
I wonder if your perception doesn't have something to do with it. Because, you know, my mom didn't love me the way, in a godly way at all. But, you know, I remember saying, if God was real, and he really loved me, like everybody talks about how he loved
right.
me. Then why in God's name are these things happening to me?
Right.
You know, I remember saying that.
So it's like a betrayal.
I don't even know if I would even say it like that. It was just like, you know, if he loves me,
mm-hmm.
then why do these things happen to me?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even after I got saved, you know, I'd be sharing the Lord with someone would say, well, why do things happen? Why?
you know, why did my dad molest me? I'm like, why was I molested? I don't know.
You know what I just heard?
He doesn't love me.
Well, it's like I can remember questioning God when I first became a Christian and knowing that God is love, and then seeing these commercials about children starving to death and, you know, these famines and all those things. But as I read the Old Testament, I got an understanding of that. It's like, you know, Africa, they have their problems. India has their problems. All these places that have their problems. Well, if God is so loving, then why is he, you know, if God loves, then why are these people over in Iraq doing the things that they do? But it's clearly stated in the Word. God, and I was explaining this to somebody in our office the other day. I said, you know, God is not doing that to these people. God, from the beginning of time, has said to nations, especially Israel, his people, God's people, when you go through these nations, you don't take up their ways. You don't take their sons for your daughters. You don't give your daughters to their sons. You don't worship their gods. You don't bring the abominations in your home. What happened is they had the same choice that you and I have. Worship the Almighty, the true and living God. And, you know, bless. And if you don't, curse. So they rejected God. They held on to their idols. And they brought those curses and onto their children. Because in Hosea 4:6, we don't usually go through all the things that it says here. But let me just read to you what it says in Hosea. And I think this is the answer to your question about why these things happen.
Okay, so in all these issues, these things happen because my daddy's not there.
There was no covering.
So therefore, God doesn't protect me. You see, your dad not being there failed in every area. There was in every area he failed you because he wasn't there. So the lie is God's not there to protect you.
But what if he had been a father who was there but absent? You know, he may have been present in the house, but I want to read it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. And he's talking about the knowledge of God. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. See, it is a curse that parents bring on their children.
See, I know that. I do. Mm-hmm. I know that. But then, you know, and I was just talking to Patty today. It's like, I said to Jethro, she was telling me, you know, I just love Kevin. In all of his mess,
mm-hmm.
I just love it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he just loves me in
mm-hmm.
all of my mess.
Right.
And I'm like, why isn't it just that simple with the Lord? Why, you know, why do we have to make it so, well, he can't love me because I didn't have my dad and I have such issues. Why can't it just be, you're my daughter and I love you and you're, why can't we just be his people and him be our God? Why isn't it just that simple?
Working on salvation with Siri
Quinlan. Frustrating.
It is.
That simple, you wouldn't be able to serve and cook in the kitchen because everybody would already be delivered and we wouldn't need to have
We need to get that on the recording.
Consciously, when all these things happen to you, you may not have even been conscious of it, but if my dad was here, these things wouldn't be happening to me.
Well, I know I wasn't thinking about my dad. I thought, where the heck is my mom?
Yeah, I know, but
yeah.
You didn't even think about it. But had he been there and been the right kind of dad, he would have protected you.
And it is a perception.
Yeah.
It is a belief system that has been set up. And it's a lie. And that's...
Only God can unset.
That's right.
He's the only one that can convert your home.
That's right. And so this is exactly why, Tammy, I wanted to talk about this love. Because if, see, those things, it means there is a love issue. There's a love issue. Forget Ralph. forget the kids, forget your mom, forget your dad. It's with you. The issue is in us. And that's the one that has to be settled in. We have to get to the point where, okay, I know that. I can't do anything about that. But God is the one. His love is the answer to your dilemma. And you just when let that be your daily, Lord, show me your love today. And then one day, you'll say, one day I was just in praise and worship, and God just said, I love you, like Patty. See, and because, look what, how old was Patty?
Yeah, I was just saying, I hope it happens a whole lot sooner in her life.
Well, and I believe it will, Patty. And I think as, you know, it says, the Bible says that the younger women should teach, the older women should teach the younger women. When we, like Katie on the way up here, y'all know her situation. She's not married to this guy. She has a baby with him. They're living together as husband and wife. She wants a godly husband. She said, Mom, I look at you. I look at the life that you've lived. You are my example. You prayed for Dad. And now Dad is becoming, she said, I don't want to pray for 20 years. And I said, I understand that. I do. I understand that, which is why I taught you everything I knew so that you would not do the same thing that I did. But you did. And then the question is, but God, why? I mean, I taught her. You know, we will forever have those issues. Forever. Because we live in the world. It's part of what Jesus said. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And guess what? You can too. Because he's in you. And as we share these journeys, that was one of the things whenever my heart was, Lord, if I can, with my hells that I have lived through, if I can shorten anybody's journey, that's my prayer. And then I was at a meeting not long after that, and the guy prophesied, you're going to kind of like offer a shortcut to young women. And I was like, yes! Yes! That's my prayer. Because as, you know, I don't think that's been done in the church either. The older women should teach the younger children, what does it say? How to love their husbands and children. That needs to be done. We need to be teaching younger women how to love their husbands and children. Because what the world is teaching women is, get your college degree because your marriage ain't going to make it and you're going to have to support yourself. That's what the world teaches. And a lot of times it looks like that's more true than the godly way, because that's what we're seeing in the world. Marriages don't last if they get married. You know, it's a mess. But God does have a perfect way. And if we walk in that perfect way, we can have the things that he promised. But it's a journey. It's a journey. And sometimes I wonder, you know, it seems backwards. Why don't we come here with all this knowledge so that we... And I really believe that if the church had been doing what it's supposed to do for 2,000 years, we wouldn't still be in this mess. It's the same mess as it has always been. So something's got to change.
Right. Right.
They freely gave the love of God. Right. And he is the one that is going to transform. And we need to go ahead and pray because I didn't realize.
Can I say one more thing? Uh-huh. I think his main point in love is that he sends us a comforter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Holy Spirit.
I know when I got the Holy Spirit, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
I felt lonely and everything, but now I feel like he's with me all the time. Like he is a comforter.
That is a good point.
Yes.
And it is, the Holy Spirit is the comforter.
Right.
And he will lead you into all truth. And part of that truth is that God loves you.
Right.
So,
I just noticed a difference.
There is. There was a difference in my life as well.
For the world, it seems like a man is going to make me happy.
Right. That's right. That's what I did. And then babies were going to make me happy. So, but that love of God did bring that, it fills up all the emptiness that changes your life. So let's go ahead and pray.
Oh,
what a nice
my husband
life.
Said I was the love of his life,
and after
he married me, he said, "You tricked me."
But you know that love is blind.
I was going to say just opposite. What's nice is when you come from the place where you look for love and you wanted the babies and you couldn't have them, thinking that's where you're going to get love. You wanted the man, and that didn't work out. And then you come to the place where you realize, okay, the only place I'm going to get love is God.
Right.
And that becomes real in your life. Then he gives you a man who's going to love you.
That's true.
He wants babies.
That's
true. And you're going at that in his way, and it all comes together.
See, it's that hub. When you search to and fill the hub, then all these other things. That's what he says. You know, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But we're so busy looking for the all that we miss the hub.
And we'll get up the all and we find it.
That's right. That's right. It is idolatry. That's right. But, you know, until it happens to you, you don't even know what that means. So, anyway, Lord, I hope I haven't made more confusion for these women. But you know, Lord, that my greatest desire is your greatest desire. And that is that each one of these women experience your love. And, Lord, I want more. Because I know there's more. And I pray for all of those here that raise their hands, that know without a doubt that you love them. Lord, I just ask that you would come right now with your Holy Spirit and your ministering angels and minister to them more love. And to those who know you love them, but they don't feel and experience your love, I'm asking, Lord, for you to give it to them. Right now, Father, just come with your love. Envelop them the way I experienced that being enveloped, where it said it all. It just went all through me, Lord. That's what I want for them. Lord, come and reveal your love. And to those who don't feel love still, Lord, you know the issue. You know the blockages, you know what caused them. Father, right now, I just speak to every blocking spirit that is standing between you and these hearts. I command them to move in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of rejection, go. It be broken off of the women in Jesus' name. Every spirit of anger, every generationally inherited spirit of Antichrist that is standing between your love and them, I command you to move in Jesus' name. Jesus said, loose them and let them go. I command every spirit that is causing us not to experience your love in its fullness, I say move, be broken, go in Jesus' name. And Lord, let their prayer be, let their seeking be, most of all, to know your love. Lord, I pray that you come and reveal yourself to each one of us in a new way, a way we've never known before. Lord, to be flooded with your love that would drive out all fear, all anger, all insecurities, all loneliness. Lord, that everything would be driven out of them and replaced with your love, your perfect love, Lord. That's what we want. And Lord, when that comes, and Lord, let us begin to give out the love that we have. Whatever amount it is, Lord, let us give it out. It's like a pond. The more that flows out, the more water can come in. Lord, come and flow through us with that love. Let your love flow like Ralph's precious song. I just love that. Let your love flow through us this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.